Hello, welcome to a special edition of Wombats and Music. Why is it special? Because I just choose to make it so. I've declared it special. We'll start off by me telling you you're listening to Wombats and Music, and I'm Harry Baia, your host, and I have this show on Monday nights at 7 to 8 and on Saturday afternoons from 1 to 2 from WEHC at Emory and Henry University. It's hard for me to say that because I want to see Emory-Henry College, but Emory-Henry University. And I'll start off with a positive song. I've got a wombat tonight. A wombat is what I call anything odd or reading a story. And I do have a reading, an 8-minute reading, actually, which will be my wombat in the middle of the show. But we're going to start right off with Better Days Ahead by Paul Thorne. Paul Thorne has a rough and gravelly voice and a message. And I think the message to us is, no matter how bad things look, it's going to get better. At least he thinks so. This is Better Days Ahead by Paul Thorne.
Down in New Orleans, the pouring rain is flooding the streets and Lake Pontchartrain. This great cold weather is bringing us down. Maybe we should just pack up and leave this town. Out there somewhere the sun still shines, somewhere the water tastes just like wine. We got to believe where there's a will, there's a way. Let's live for tomorrow and forget yesterday.
Days ahead, with all this time I'd be willing to bet.
That was Better Days Ahead, sung by Paul Thorne. Little change of mood here. Next is She Don't Know She's Beautiful. In our day of gender awareness, I certainly know of women, but especially young girls, who aren't aware yet how beautiful they are. It's not part of their being. And also sometimes if they're at work or something, they just don't consider it as a possibility. But when you see them and you recognize who they are, you have the reaction that Sammy Kershaw has in this song. The song is titled, She Don't Know She's Beautiful. So see if you know anybody like that. You just heard Sammy Kershaw singing She Don't Know She's Beautiful. Another page of praise coming here. Next up is a Christian hymn, He Hideth My Soul. And I don't think you have to be a believer to be entranced by this. And I invite you to, whatever your belief system, invite this into your soul and see what it does to you, because it's a powerful statement. And I especially like the harmony in here. It's just as clean as any harmony I've ever heard. So this is He Hideth My Soul, sung by the Heartland Harmony Girls.
Savior is Jesus, my Lord. Oh, shadows, a dry, thirsty land. He hideth my life in the depths of his love, and covers me there with his hand, and covers me there with his hand. Oh, wonderful Savior is Jesus my Lord. He taketh my burden away. He holdeth me up and I shall not be moved. He giveth me strength as my day. He hideth my soul in the cleft of the rock, the shadows a dry, thirsty land. He hideth my life in the depths of his love, and covers me there with his hand, and covers me there with his hand. Transported I rise to meet him in clouds of the sky. His perfect salvation, his wonderful love, I'll shout with the millions on high. He hideth my soul in the cleft of the rock, the shadows a dry, thirsty land. He hideth my life in the depths of his love, and covers me there with his hand, and covers me there with his hand, and covers me there with his hand.
He hideth my soul, sung by the Heartland Harmony Girls. I sometimes talk about love at first sight kind of thing, an experience that people can have where you meet someone or see someone, especially face to face, and your eyes meet, and you feel it's sort of like being in love, transformed, transfixed, changed, and you're not in love, you don't even know the person, but it feels like it. So that can happen, and with music it happens. And I, as a banjo player, I can hear just a little piece of a song and think, ooh, I like that. I want to learn that. So here's an example. This is June Apple, played on the banjo. It's a very short piece, not even a minute long, but it's enough for me to fall in love with it. If you're a potential banjo player, you might want to watch out. This thing could catch you. So this is June Apple. Thank you. That was June Apple, a 36-second click, and enough to addict someone to banjo, if you ask me. Well, we're moving on to kind of a big deal. This song is almost 6 minutes long, which is at least twice as long as hardly anything I ever play on the show. So, but I think it's worth it. I have often played over the years the Bob Dylan song of Knocking on Heaven's Door, which I think he does a wonderful job with. Well, this is a cover by, looks like Edie Bullen and Krishna Christian. And I think they've done such a beautiful job. It's not the same as the Dylan version exactly. It's like they've taken one of the dimensions of the mood and turned it way up. And that dimension is something like somber or eternal almost. Spoiler alert, if you've never heard this song before, it might be a little hard to figure out the first time through. Bob Dylan was asked to write a song for a movie of a dying sheriff, a cowboy, a dying sheriff in a cowboy movie. And he wrote this song, and it was used in the movie. And I've played it by him many times. I've now found there are numerous covers of people who found the song just captivating. And this is one of them that I'm going to play now. So the story is about a dying sheriff who's saying, take my badge away, take my guns away. It's getting dark, I can't see. So it's a pretty sad story. But if you know that beforehand, it helps understand what's happening a little bit. So here we go. This is Knock, Knock, Knocking on Heaven's Door.
Knock, knock, knocking on heaven's door.
That was Knocking on Heaven's Door by, I guess it's Eddie Bullen featuring Keisha Christian. Knocking on Heaven's Door. Well, I mentioned addiction to the banjo recently, the earlier song, and now is a song called Scarlet Fever. And the idea is that, for me, the underlying idea is that we each can be possessed by some other person for whatever the reason. Perhaps they're a father figure, whatever. But in this case, you'll see. So he goes in and catches scarlet fever. And if you don't catch scarlet fever, you can get through this song, all right. Right after this, we have today's Wombat.
I stood outside the Lucky Star, staring at the flashing sign. It read, come on in and watch young Scarlet's body come alive. Let her dance for you and cast her spell. You'll swear you can't believe her. Be careful not to catch that scarlet fever. So I paid my fare and walked down front and found an empty chair. As I settled in, young Scarlet took the ribbons from her hair. The moves her body made while the music played were the likes I've never seen. And she became the envy of my dreams. One by one, her tease and movements brought the crowd out of the seats. And all at once, young Scarlet danced right up in front of me. From the moment that her eyes found mine, I've never been the same. Scarlet larked another heart upon her chain. Now I get scarlet. Just 16. She had a way of making a man believe she danced for only him. As she tantalized, I fantasized and felt the sound of my heartbeat. And every night I dreamed she'd fall in love with me. Then one night while driving in, my eyes began to tear, 'cause the sign outside the Lucky Star said Scarlet isn't here. She left that day to find a life of bigger and better things. And she left behind my chain of broken dreams. But I still get scarlet.
Just heard Scarlet Fever, sung by Kenny Rogers. And now, today's Wombat. It's Wombat time. I'm going to read to you from Alice's Adventures in Wonderland. I'm breaking chapter 5 into two parts, And I'll do one on this show and one on another show. But before we start, before I start reading from Alice, I want to just give you a little heads up. You may already know this, but in case you don't, the author Lewis Carroll was a mathematician, actually a fairly brilliant mathematician, I guess, and also wrote Alice in Wonderland and some other things, and was a very smart fellow. And so in his advice from the Caterpillar, it's a mental experience to listen in on Alice in her simplicity and sincerity, talking to the Caterpillar, who is living in a different way. And things are interesting because different points of view. For example, Alice is upset at being only 3 inches high, whereas the Caterpillar assures her it's a perfectly good height to be. So that kind of interaction is going on all the way through. So here we go. The Caterpillar and Alice looked at each other for some time in silence. At last, the Caterpillar took the hookah out of his mouth and addressed her in languid, sleepy voice. "Who are you?" said the Caterpillar. This was not an encouraging opening for a conversation. Alice replied rather shyly, I hardly know, sir. Just at present, at least, I know who I was when I got up this morning, but I think I must have changed several times since then." "What do you mean by that?" said the Caterpillar sternly. "Explain yourself."
"I can't explain myself, I'm afraid, sir," said Alice, "because I'm not myself, you see."
"I don't see," said the Caterpillar.
"I'm afraid I can't put it more clearly," Alice replied very politely, "for I can't understand it myself to begin with. And being so many different sizes in one day is very confusing."
"It isn't," said the Caterpillar.
"Well, perhaps you haven't found it so yet," said Alice. "But when you have turned into a chrysalis, you will someday, you know, and then after that into a butterfly, I'd think you will feel a little queer, won't you?"
"Not a bit," said the Caterpillar.
"Well, perhaps your feelings may be different," said Alice. "All I know is it would feel very queer to me."
"You?" said the Caterpillar contemptuously. "Who are you?"
Which brought them back again to the beginning of the conversation. Alice felt a little irritated at the Caterpillar's making such very short remarks, and she drew herself up first and said very gravely,
"I think you ought to tell me who you are first."
"Why?" said the Caterpillar. Here was another puzzling answer, and as Alice could not think of any good reason, and as the Caterpillar seemed to be in a very unpleasant state of mind, she turned away.
"Come back," said the Caterpillar, called after her. "I've something important to say."
This sounded promising, certainly. Alice turned and came back again.
"Keep your temper," said the Caterpillar.
"Is that all?" said Alice, swallowing down her anger as well as she could.
"No," said the Caterpillar.
Alice thought she might as well wait, as she had nothing else to do, and perhaps, after all, it might tell her something worth hearing. For some minutes it puffed away without speaking, but at last it unfolded its arms, took the hookah out of its mouth again, and said,
"So you think you're changed, do you?"
"I'm afraid I am, sir," said Alice. "I can't remember things I used to. I don't keep the same size for 10 minutes together."
"You can't remember what things?" said the Caterpillar.
"Well, I've tried to say, 'How doth a little busy bee?' but it all came out different," Alice replied in a very melancholy voice.
"Repeat. You are old, Father William," said the Caterpillar.
Alice folded her hands and began, "You are old, Father William," the young man said, "and your hair has become very white, and yet you incessantly stand on your head. Do you think at your age it is right?"
"In my youth," Father William replied to his son, "I feared it might injure the brain, but now I am perfectly sure I have none. Why do it again and again?"
"You are old," said the youth, "as I mentioned before, and have grown most uncommonly fat. Yet you turned a back somersault in at the door. Pray, what is the reason of that?"
"In my youth," said the sage, as he shook his gray locks, "I kept all my limbs very supple. By use of this ointment, 1 shilling the box, Allow me to sell you a couple.
You are old, said the youth, and your jaws are too weak for anything tougher than suet. Yet you finished the goose with the bones in the beak. Pray, how did you manage to do it?
In my youth, said his father, I took to the law. I argued each case with my wife, and the muscular strength which it gave to my jaw has lasted the rest of my life.
You are old, said the youth. One would hardly suppose that your eye was as steady as ever, yet you balance an eel on the end of your nose. What made you so awfully clever?
I have answered three questions, and that is enough, said his father. Don't give yourself airs. Do you think I can listen all day to such stuff? Be off, or I'll kick you down the stairs.
That is not said right, said the caterpillar.
Not quite right, I'm afraid, said Alice timidly. Some of the words have got altered.
It is wrong from beginning to end, said the caterpillar decidedly, and there was silence for some minutes.
The caterpillar was the first to speak.
What size do you want to be?
It asked. Oh, I'm not particular as to size, Alice hastily replied, only one doesn't like changing so often, you know.
I don't know, said the caterpillar.
Alice said nothing. She had never been so much contradicted in her life before, and she felt that she was losing her temper.
Are you content now? Said the caterpillar.
Well, I should like to be a little larger, sir, if you wouldn't mind, said Alice. 3 inches is such a wretched height to be.
It is a very good height indeed, said the caterpillar angrily, rearing itself up as it spoke.
It was exactly 3 inches high. But I'm not used to it, pleaded Alice in a piteous tone, and she thought of herself, I wish the creatures wouldn't be so easily offended.
You'll get used to it in time, said the caterpillar,
and it put the hookah into its mouth and began smoking again. This time Alice waited patiently until it chose to speak. And that will be the next Wombat on Alice. But this one ends here. And that was part of Chapter 5, Alice and the Caterpillar, from Alice's Adventures in Wonderland, as read by Harry Baya. And now it's time to interrupt the show and tell you who we are and what we're doing. This is Wombats and Music, and I'm your host, Harry Baya. It's my chance each week to play for you songs I think are extra special, and occasionally put in something a little odd, like the reading I just gave you of Alice and the Caterpillar. And I call those odd things wombats, and that's where the title comes from, Wombats and Music. And so we've had our wombat today, but we're moving on to a rather intense song. The song was called For What It's Worth, and it was made popular by Buffalo Springfield, who did just a wonderful version of it. The version I'm going to play is completely different from that one. This is by Del McCorry and his band, the Del McCorry Band. And so it's difficult to compete with a cover like the one that Buffalo Springfield made, but Del McCorry's voice is so intense, he manages to break through.
There's something happening here. What it is ain't exactly clear. There's a man with a gun over there telling me I've got to beware. It's time we stop, children. What's that sound? Everybody look what's going down. There's battle lines being drawn. Nobody's right if everybody's wrong. Young people speak.
speaking their minds, hitting so much resistance from behind. It's time we stop. Hey, what's that sound? Everybody look what's going down. Thank you.
what's that sound? Everybody look what's going down. Stop, hey, what's that sound? Everybody look what's going down. Stop, hey, what's that sound? Everybody look what's going down. Stop, baby, what's that sound? Everybody look what's going down.
You just heard For What It's Worth by the Del McCorry Band and Friends. The next song is another one for which the original was terrific. Follow the Drinking Gourd. The original for me was by the New Christie Minstrels. This version is by Taj Mahal and some other friends, so it's different. But the message is still there. You can still think of the people trying to escape from Southern slavery going north, and the way they did it was by following the Drinking Gourd. The Big Dipper, the Drinking Gourd, if you think of it as a handle sticking out to the left, the two stars that make up the right side of the dipper, the bucket, those stars line up and point to the North Star. So that's how they were able to use the Drinking Gourd to find which way north was. And north was to the part of America where they would be free. So this is Follow the Drinking Gourd by Taj Mahal.
When the sun comes back and the first quail calls, follow the drinking gourd, for the old man is waiting for to carry you to freedom. Follow the drinking gourd.
Follow the drinking gourd.
Follow
the drinking gourd.
For the old man is waiting for to carry you to freedom.
Follow the drinking gourd.
Banks makes a mighty true road. Dead trees mark the way. Left foot, pig foot, traveling on. Follow the drinking gourd.
Drinking gourd, there the old man is a-waiting for to carry you to freedom. Follow the drinking gourd.
Follow
the drinking gourd.
That was Follow the Drinking Gourd, sung by Taj Mahal, Linda, the Cultural Heritage Choir, and Eric Bibb. I seem to be playing a lot of covers tonight, but I don't think of them as covers. The next one is Landslide, sung by the Dixie Chicks. Well, that was originally Stevie Nicks sang that song, and so it's hers, but that they aren't competing. Cover is not necessarily trying to edge each other out. They're establishing their own territory. And this version of Landslide is, it belongs to the Dixie Chicks, not to Stevie Nicks and Fleetwood Mac. This belongs to the Dixie Chicks. Landslide by the Dixie Chicks. Well, we played a lot of covers of tunes. Here's the original hit by Journey, Don't Stop Believin'.
Soft Detroit.
That was Don't Stop Believing by Journey. And the last song of the show today is a number one hit from 1957, Honeycomb by Jimmy Rogers. A happy song.
Honeycomb, honeycomb.
Well, it's a darn good life, and it's kind of funny how the Lord made the bee, and the bee made the honey, and the honey bee looking for a home. And they call it a honeycomb, and they roam the world and they gathered all of the honeycomb in the one sweet fall, and the honeycomb from a million trips made my baby's lips. Oh, honeycomb, oh, won't you be my baby? Well, the honeycomb be my own. Got a hank of hair and a piece of bone, and made a walking, talking honeycomb. Well, honeycomb, oh, won't you be my baby? Well, the honeycomb be my own. What a darn good life when you got a wife like a honeycomb.
Honeycomb.
And the Lord said, now that I made a bee, I'm gonna look all around for a green, green tree. And he made a little tree, and I guess you heard what then? Well, he made a little bird, and they waited all around until the end of spring. I get every note that the birdies sing, and they put them all into one sweet tone for my honeycomb. Oh, honeycomb, oh, won't you be my baby? Well, the honeycomb be my own. Got a hank of hair and a piece of bone, and made a walk talking honeycomb. Well, honeycomb, won't you be my baby? Well, honeycomb, be my own. What a darn good life when you got
quack.
I'm gonna look all around for a little old word that sounds about sweet like turtle dove. And I guess I'm gonna call it love. And here on the world, we're looking everywhere. We're getting love from here, love from there. And he put it all in a little old part of my baby's heart. Oh, honeycomb, oh, won't you be my baby? Well, the honeycomb be my own. Got a hank of hair and a piece of bone that made a walking, talking honeycomb. Well, honeycomb, oh, won't you be my baby? Well, the honeycomb be my own. What a darn good life when you got a wife like honeycomb.
Honeycomb.
You've been listening to Wombats and Music with your host, Harry Baia. Now it's time to join me. Please join me in celebrating most joyously our being here at all. Goodbye.